need a break. Relax, grab a coffee, and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Afternoon to you. Great to have your company here on Hump Day. Yes, it's Wednesday afternoon. Time for you just to take 25, put your feet up, pour yourself a cuppa and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
Do you like getting paid or getting paid attention? Like, you mix the wrong guys with the right intentions. In the same bed, but it still feel long distance. Yeah, yeah. You're looking for a little more consistency. But when you stop looking, you gon' find what's meant to be. And honestly, I'm way too done with them. So I cut off all my X's for your X and O's. I feel my old flings was just preparing me. When I say I want you, say it back, parakeet. Fly your first class through the air, Airbnb. I'm the best you had, you just be comparing me to me. I'ma add this at you. If I put you on my phone and upload it, it'll get maximum views. I came through in the clutch more than lipsticks and phones. Wore your fave cologne just to get you alone.
Don't be afraid to catch feels.
Don't be afraid to catch these feels.
Run your cup and chase through.
A great song to start our Wednesday afternoon, and I think we do need a bit of cheering up today. But I tell you one thing, Irene, the daffodils are out and we got our first egg. And isn't that interesting?
Look, I really want to come. I need an invite, please, because I am so missing seeing you and I'm so missing the hug. And we're still doing these stupid Zoom meetings and I want to get back to seeing you and being in his studio. Should I have said that? No.
Isn't that funny that, you know, we're all trying to get back into this I suppose, new routine. And as our listeners know, we've been AWOL for a few weeks. Why? We don't really know why, because, well, just because we haven't been able to get ourselves together and sit down and do this, and yet we've got plenty of time to do it. But this whole new routine, I think, is just mucking everybody up, unless they actually have to physically be at a workplace, you know, for that many hours. It's interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm still in lockdown mode. I mean, I really enjoyed the lockdown. I had plenty of time to do nothing except play games, watch movies, and not much else. And because I'd sprained my ankle, I couldn't get out and exercise. So I got into this really sort of lazy habit, and I'm feeling it physically. I mean, I'm really feeling it physically. It's so yucky, you know, and my head is going, come on, Owen, you've got to get out there and do it. And, oh, I'll just do it after I've had another game of cards, you know. It's just I cannot get myself out of it. It's driving me nuts. It's so silly. But I am talking a lot to people, you know, on Skype and everything, people that are struggling and trying to, because my business just got back up and running so quickly. I was really, really lucky, but others aren't quite so lucky. And they're struggling to get back and or make the changes they need to make.
And I think that's true. I think that's maybe the distinction, as you were, you know, and I've got a young lady I know who's feeling that she's the failure. And I'm thinking, how can you be the failure? You know, this is out of your control. But it was her dream, you know, and suddenly her dream's been ripped away from her. So she has to now make a new dream, or, you know, she's got to, I suppose, I actually talked about allowing herself time to grieve. Because I think you do, you know, you had this dream and you were going along, you know, all great guns, and now someone's ripped that away from you. And I think you do have to grieve a bit and now accept that that dream's gone, and now I've got to find out how to either adapt or do it differently or do something completely new.
I totally agree. It's accepting. You have to accept that the dream and all the hard work you put into that dream is now dead and buried, and that is the grieving part. So you then have to look at, do you have to bury it all, or do you only have to bury some of it? But the dream as the whole is definitely gone, and that is the hardest thing for people to accept. It's taking a lot of time for them to accept that, because they're thinking, well, maybe if I just wait long enough, you know, things are going to change.
Yeah, I know, and it's just really difficult. But it just, you know, I scroll through the newspaper past all the negatives, because I'm still tired of seeing all the negatives. But I scroll, and then you'll find down the bottom some neat little story about someone that's done something differently, and that someone that has managed to change their business for the better. And they've even said, actually, had we not been forced to do this, we would have still been just kind of lolling along, but we've actually figured out a way to do things better. And I'm always looking for those stories, because I think that's where our mindset has to go, doesn't it? It has to move on.
Yes, we do have to move on. Like I said, I've been extremely lucky. I have, probably because of the way I run my business, I am so busy with new clients wanting to get in at the moment, and I don't have to change anything. But the fact that the sort of clients that are coming to me now are different has changed. You know, these clients are looking a different way to how they want their homes managed, and by different, and they're valuing the service a lot more. And I find that a really, really positive thing, because there are so many that are managing to change. There's only a few that have got to have us in there helping them as much as we can so that they can get through it.
I think so. You know, wherever we've got that positivity and that support, it's there to share, I think. Talking about doing things differently, with renovations almost finished, I got Herman out again. So if you remember, for everybody out there, Herman's my little automatic, robotic, whatever you call it, vacuum cleaner.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so he's now got to find his way around a new place.
I'm sure he'll manage. It's like learning all about COVID. He'll manage. Have you got a trained sanitizer on the floor as he goes? I mean, come on. You've got to be a busy age girl.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was actually quite nice, actually. It just reminded me when you said your business took off that, you know, all that time through renovations, you've got everything spread everywhere. So I had to just hide him away for a while. But I thought, no, it's time he came out. And away right. he's gone. Yeah. So, no,
Oh, well, I'll tell you another thing that's really interesting, because my business has taken off. So all my regular gorgeous Kiwi blokes that I've always loved, who did all my extra contracting work, you know, like the home handyman, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, I couldn't get hold of them, like I've already mentioned previously. But there's a whole new range of them coming in. They're all people that are in here on work visas, and they've been here for years on work visas, and they've established their little small businesses, and they haven't been able to get the wage subsidy. So they're here and wanting to work. So I've now got this wonderful list of very, very lovely people who, you know, I've got way more options than what I ever had before. And it was interesting how they've all popped out of the woodwork. I never found them before, but now I've found them. So, yeah, all these good things happen.
And I suppose sometimes you're not looking either, because you're comfortable with who you have. You know, you've got that little network around you, so you don't bother going looking a little bit further. Yeah. Now, I know sometimes, Irene, you sometimes have migrant workers or workers on a visa. How have they got on, or have they kind of, did you have any before the lockdown, or how are they coping?
No, I'm sort of quite a stickler with, well, let me put it this way. They, they're all small businesses, and they all need to abide by the law. And even with the migrant workers that I've, one of the big things I do is I teach them how to run their small business, excuse me. So I teach them how to set up their business name and how to set up their invoices and how to do their tax at the end of the year and so on and so forth. So they've got all the information they need to understand what being a small business is all about, and that they can work for anybody, not just me.
That's quite empowering, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I believe that people in part-time employment, particularly with my sort of work, it's much more beneficial for them to be small businesses, because they can claim on their expenses like their phones and their cars and so on and so forth. And quite frankly, I just couldn't run my business on employees. It just wouldn't work. I would be bankrupt in a very short period of time. So I teach them to be able to do exactly the same as me. So all my ladies, and they are five different countries they come from, were all able to get the wage subsidy because they're all permanent residents now. That is another thing that I pushed with all of them, that they go for their permanent residency as soon as they possibly can. Only one didn't, and she couldn't get the wage subsidy because she didn't do that, and she hasn't set her business up properly. So I've said to her, well, there you go. If you do the right thing by New Zealand and pay your taxes like you're supposed to, you'll be right in there, you know, but you've just missed out. So I think she's had a big rethink, and she's getting herself sorted now. So, but I'm quite a stickler on that. I won't take people who are illegal, who shouldn't be working. It would be very easy to do so, and I would be able to rip them off like a lot of people do and not pay them a decent wage. But my girls get a really good hourly rate, and I don't allow any illegal ones. They must show me their proofs. They must be police tested, all the rest of it.
And it's quite interesting, because when you kind of move overseas for a while, and, you know, when you're on your work visa and all of that, you know, for a lot of them, they've still got family back home, and sometimes their families are in a country that are well worse off than what we are, you know, in terms of COVID. And I think sometimes it's just even supporting them, because they're alone here, you know, some of the time, not all of the time. But I see that with my students too, the ones that got in before lockdown, but their families, you know, are still at home. Their babies, their children, and you kind of think, gosh, that support out there, I don't think we realise actually that they're alone here, and having to worry, you know, that all that worry about what's happening with them, and if their family is safe back home as well. Yeah.
Well, I know there was a lot of people down in Christchurch who were over here on work visas, but the work visa doesn't allow them. There's various different levels of these work visas, and the work visa that they had was sort of like 6 months or something, and didn't allow them anything like the wage subsidy like we were getting. But I do believe, I did hear something that they were going to be looked after by the government as well. I think they've got a sort of like an unemployment benefit or something like that. So they're sitting down in Christchurch in their lovely hotel rooms with a...
I hope they are, because it'll be freaking cold down there at the moment with winter.
No, I'm going next week and it's down to 19 degrees. Oh, look, this has been a massive learning curve, because I'm taking my 16-year-old granddaughters down to Christchurch for a week of their school holidays.
Wow, and you'll just be amazed. Have you been down there before?
Oh, yes, many times.
Oh, gosh. And have you been down since the earthquake?
Oh, yes, many times, okay. I was like, as soon as I could get down there, I was down there so that I could support the businesses and that, and visit my girlfriend, and refused to stay with her, went and stayed in a backpacker's, just so that I could, like, I'm a millionaire, yeah, right, I still rent a house, but here I am spending all this money to try and help these people. Yeah. Anyway, so I decided to take my grandies down there because they have never been to the South Island. They have never seen snow. They have never really been in a cold climate. The farther south they've been is sort of around the Tauranga, Gisborne, Whakatane areas. And so I thought, great, take them to Christchurch. But you don't think about everything when you decide to do this. You know, about 3 weeks ago, I suddenly went, hang on a minute, if they've never been to the South Island, if they've never been in a cold climate, what clothes have they got? Zilch. Absolutely zilch.
At least down in the South Island, you have a dry cold, so you just need a good thermal and jacket, and you're quite cuddly warm, not like up here. And for those of you who are up in the North Island, and especially up in Auckland, we're getting a lot more humidity, and that kind of that dampness creeps into your bones, doesn't it? And I'd rather that dry cold where, yeah, it's crisp and totally it gets cold, but yeah.
Totally agree. I was trying to explain to them that I have been in Christchurch or in the South Island where it's been snowing and I've been in a T-shirt, and they know how Nanny feels the cold. Right? So they're going, well, we don't need to take that many clothes. No, wipe that out. There's only once that happened, girls. Yes, you do need to. So I've been big borrowing and stealing all these clothes. And, of course, 16-year-olds are really fussy about how they look. So I've got this massive pile of clothes in my lounge, all piled up, ready for when they get up here from Tauranga, so that I can check their bags and they can have a look and see if they can improve on what they've managed to borrow from friends down here. But, you know, and then I go, suitcases. I mean, I only thought of the suitcases about 2 or 3 days ago. And they said, yeah, we've got the ones you bought us, Nan. And I said, I bought you those when you were 5. They're not big enough on the South Island, you know. They're too big to be carry-on bags, but they're nowhere near big enough to take 20 kg worth of clothes. So then we had another major big borrow steel from to get them suitcases that were big enough. So funny. You just don't think of all the things you have to think about when you change climates.
No, that's true. And you're right. Isn't it funny? And you don't want to, well, if you're anything like me, I don't want to be hanging around picking up my baggage. My luggage, should I say. And it's nice that you can get those ones that, you know, it's probably all right for a weekend away, which are big enough to just slot in that overhead locker. But then just sometimes you just need something that little bit more. Yeah.
Well, when going to Christchurch, there's no way a carry-on bag's enough, you know, because, I mean, it could be absolutely wonderful weather and I'm in jeans and T-shirts with just a coat over top, or it can be really cold. So that takes up room. I mean, just my coat takes up half my bag. So the coat goes on the plane on my back and up into the locker. And so, yeah, but we'll get it sorted. I'm really excited. I'm really pleased because the Transalpine, everybody, is open again. They just opened up last week. So we'll be off over to Greymouth to do that, and we'll spend money in Greymouth to try and help them with all the flood damage and road closure and everything that they've had. And then somehow I've got to get them up into the mountains. I think it's about an hour and a half drive away to get them snowboarding or at least being able to do snow angels or, you know, something in the snow.
Throw a couple of big black rubbish bags in the boot of your, or in the back of your suitcase, and you can like sit on them and ski down and slide down the hill.
I'll just buy them in the supermarket when I get down there, because that the very first time I saw snow, that's what I did. Hopped on a piece of plastic and I was amazed how out of control I was.
It's hilarious. must have been the thing to do, because we did that as well, but what a heap of fun. And I think the snow is, you've got to do it, don't you? And yeah, they'll just have a ball. Well, I hope they'll have a ball, but I mean, getting out on the snow, it's just, I don't know how you can't have fun, actually.
I agree. Yeah.
But we must say.
Yeah, there's quite a few family down there that they haven't. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be loads and loads.
I must say, we have been, and it's a funny thing, us New Zealanders, we always do talk about the weather, but by heck, have we got, we've been going through a wee bit lately, haven't we, with tornadoes ripping through. They actually were very close to us. We didn't see them, but we actually went the next day to go and have a look at the damage, which is probably about 10 minutes drive away. I have never seen anything like it. Mm. You know, tops of big, big, huge trees just ripped off. It was just... just incredible, isn't it? We've been having some right old weather.
I know, and that's quite unusual. I mean, we always have. I mean, I remember a few years ago, Dairy Flat had a tornado go through it, and that was at least 10 or so years ago. So we've always had the odd tornado doing its little twirly thing around us, but not what we've experienced in the last day or two. I mean, that's... you know, that's right up there. There were a whole pile of tornadoes all over the place all at once. But I find it's a hot and cold. It's got to have something. It's so hot one minute and it's so cold the next. It's just very extreme.
Well, it's been a hugely mild winter. I mean, I've got the ponies' jackets on. Well, they call them covers. I call them jackets. And they're just very light covers. And they're sweating. You know, they've got their big woolly winter coat on as well underneath, and they're just still sweating. It's just so, it is, it's still so, so warm. I must say, and I'm sure our listeners out there too will agree with me, and especially if you did see the interview with the woman who had her baby in the ambulance Yeah, when that tornado was ripping through and it slammed the whole garage into the ambulance and smashed the whole side of the ambulance. And I just thought, wow, imagine that, you know, you're in the middle of in labour and in the middle of a tornado. How incredible. And when she came on telly the other night, she said, maybe we'll call him Storm. Isn't that sweet?
I was just thinking to myself, if she doesn't call that baby Storm, then she's missed out on the name.
But it was just, it must have just been absolutely terrifying. But it was lovely to see her come out the other end and smiling, and everybody was happy. And I suppose that's the best bit, isn't it, when everybody, because I don't think anybody was hurt through these tornadoes. A lot of damage within buildings. But, yeah, luckily... nobody was hurt, so, yeah.
It's quite amazing, really, when you see the damage done, that nobody got hit, was flying debris. I mean, I think everybody just all... I saw them all tucking under tables when I saw it on the news, and everybody was diving under tables, like, thinking, well, yes, I guess, yes, that's got to help in some way, surely. I don't know what the rules and regulations are for what you do in a tornado crisis.
I don't know. We'd probably have to have cellars, wouldn't we, under the house? I presume that's what they'd have in America. Like you'd run down into the cellar, wouldn't you? Because you're right, under the table, if your roof gets ripped off, so is your table going with it, eh? Yeah. Is it a bathtub? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, some people did jump into the bathtub, but if that's not fixed down, isn't that what happened to Dorothy? I mean, she went sailing off in her bathtub, didn't she? So I don't think that's a good option.
She did, and I think that's probably about all we've got time for. And what a lovely way to finish, Dorothy. Picture that in your mind, Dorothy sailing off into a bathtub. Hey, for our listeners out there, do reach out on Facebook. Let us know how you're feeling. You know, are things back on track going well? Was your dream shattered and you have to get that dream back on? What's it going to look like? Do share with us on our Two Sugars Facebook page. And we'll see you guys the same time, same place next week.
You've been listening to Two Sugars, brought to you by Delaquo Communication, delaquo.co.nz.